Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guys. It's the People's Radio. It's RSG up in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne Hoop. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will, the ill executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric Hamilton.
RNG fam is like, woo!
Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
You don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners. You guys act like this. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Anybody can be peace.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, RSG Renegade Radio. I am your host, Marcus the Game Changer, and one third of the illustrious three-man booth. And before we get into the proceedings this evening, allow me to say you could have been anywhere in the world, but you are here with us. We appreciate your patronage. With no further ado, allow me to introduce my comrades. To my right, I got my man, Phil T, Sports PhD. What's happening, Captain?
Bruhs, I'm happy to be back, man. Happy to get the band back together.
Oh yeah, we got a live show tonight, Corona style. We doing it for the people. Trying to defeat this COVID. And on my left, I got my man D. Wills. Holla at the people.
What's up? I'm glad we're practicing physical distancing, not social distancing. And so it's good to be back in the lab with the fellas. I'm looking forward to having a good time.
All right. Hey, D-Wills, you got some static on your line, man, so make sure give me a quick check. Okay.
Yeah, right. You sound like you're underwater.
But yeah.
You sound like your phone got the COVID.
I had to bunker down on this one, you know? I had to bunker down on this one. You know, I can try to get to the other side of this.
They just said we had to be in the house, man. We ain't had to be in no bunker.
Hey, man, I don't trust it. I'm not gonna be that black guy in the movie. I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna be trying to make it to the other side.
D. Will's eating a can of Bush pork and beans, right? Straight out the can. Holding a shotgun, my man, hunker down.
Right. D thinks he can.
Yeah, I'm in that safe room right now, you know. So I'm trying to be like Mike Greenberg, you know. He got his eyes looking, you know. His makeup ain't on, nothing on there. We just all going wrong with this one.
This needs to be an intervention. We gonna need you to call back in, bro. You sound like you're underwater.
I know.
Right.
Ain't nobody gonna want to hear this episode.
You keep going back and I'm not going to hit his episode.
Right. We've been trying to be covert with it. Divine not really listening. You just keep talking.
I will recheck back in.
Yeah, check your line. We can't have you out here like that, man. We your people.
Right.
We can't have you out here like that.
I thought we were kidding.
Like, nah, bro. Ain't nobody gonna listen. Nobody trying to hear none of that static, man. Every time you talk, man, they gonna turn their earbuds down. As we wait for D Wills to reconnect, PhD, what's been going on with you, man? How you holding up?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. Just kind of adjusting to this new normal. But missing sports. Yeah, I don't watch it as much as I used to, but the little bit I was watching, I do miss it. But outside of that, man, things have been going pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with you in that boat, man. Just trying to get through, trying to figure out how to function in this different way of being. But I'm with you. I don't watch as much professional sports as I used to at one time when we first started doing this. But I tell you what,
yeah.
I was planning on watching a bunch this month. And that did not happen.
Yeah, especially with the NBA normally heating up around this time of the year, and yeah, you know, the first round of playoffs coming up in the next month. I mean, it feels really odd.
Yeah, it is very odd, and you know, this is the month I call basketball Christmas because you got, you know, in most states, high school basketball is wrapping up, so you got the best of the best still playing. Then you got the NCAA tournament, and then the NBA season starts to kick up. And, you know, for those folks that are into baseball, baseball starts to come around. So, like, this is just like a really one of those sweet spot times during the sports calendar. You know, it is what it is. It's definitely gone for a good reason. But it's still gone nonetheless. And so, you know, There are times where you're just kind of looking at the TV like, man, ain't nothing for me to watch. I don't really – watch nothing but live sports and ain't none of that on. So I guess I'll go read or something.
Go pick up a book.
Right. I guess, like my mother said, just go read or put your face in a book, boy. Memorizing all them songs.
D. Wells, you back?
Oh, yeah, mic check, I'm clear. I had to make, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's it right there. That's the sugar right there.
With the rebirth, I can't come out like I'm coming out hard out the womb. I had to come out and do something. Now I feel like I'm participating. That's clear right there.
Yeah, well, we brought
we couldn't have you out there.
His mic wasn't working. He come out for his grand entrance, his mic off.
Right, he come out, I ain't no joke, but he sound like, I ain't no joke.
Like, he got the auto-tune mic.
Yeah.
Auto-tune mic, that's right. I'm like, man, I've had this at all. I have a problem with this at all. I finally get the band back together, and my mic is all messed up. I'm like, I'm off my steps. Y'all spinning one, y'all going right, I'm going left. That's all right. We back.
We going to get it back in order. So, you know, the NBA shut down. And it's one of those moments where I probably will always remember kind of when it, like, happened, because I think when the NBA shut down, it kind of put all the other things that were going to happen in March kind of on alert. Like, you probably should chill out. Like, if they can't handle it, we definitely can't handle it type situation. And I remember I was sitting on my couch, and I was watching the Mavs and the Nuggets, I think it was. And it scrolled across the bottom of the screen, and I let out an audible "What the f" in my living room, because I was like, "Oh wow," you know, it just kind of was like, "Okay, this is what we're doing now." Now this is, and once that happened, that was the first shoe to drop, and you knew it was going to be a domino effect from there. Because again, if that $1 billion industry can't handle it, then you know, everybody else needs to sit down somewhere. So what were you doing when you found out the NBA was shutting down, D. Wills?
I was doing the same thing. I was sitting there watching the same game, and I was just, as it was melting down, I'm just thinking, this can't be. and you could just see it, and you could see it all unravel right before your eyes. It was like I was just blown away because it got so surreal. Because at that point, you realize no one is immune to this. Like there is no boundary to this, and you know we're gonna wake up tomorrow. There's gonna be a lot of things that are gonna be changing, gonna be different. And so I was just, I mean, when they had the game, the final game didn't get started at all, and you know that. You just saw it just melt down in like a 2-3 hour period. I mean, that was just, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And that I was like, wow, because most tragedies, anytime we have something, the sports is what has been our escape. So at this point we think, I'm thinking, what is the escape?
And yeah, man,
that door was closing.
Yeah. And that door closed real fast. It closed first.
Yes.
It closed right away on us. PhD, where were you at, man?
I was in Greensboro, North Carolina at the ACC tournament. And that night I had watched Carolina lose to Syracuse and Notre Dame beat somebody. I forget exactly who they were playing. And after that late game, we're leaving the arena, and pretty much it was announced that the games for the rest of the ACC tournament, Tuesday through Saturday, they would still be played. However, they'd be played with no fans, just some family and media. And so everybody in the arena was kind of bummed, although the environment in the arena was definitely needed. This is the second ACC tournament I've been to. The first was last year, so I have a really direct comparison. And by Wednesday, you know, the stadium is like 80-90% full. And then come Thursday, you know, the top four seeds open up at that point. but this year, even at the Wednesday evening session games, the arena was probably only 20-30% full. And I think everybody in the arena was really questioning, why are we even here? You know, and then the following morning, so that evening, the NBA announced that they were going to cancel the season, and I think I was still in the arena when that happened. So by Thursday noon the next morning, the entire ACC tournament had been canceled, and then everything kind of, you know, had a ripple effect, you know. And clearly the NCAA and the ACC, that was all, in my opinion, a ripple effect from the NBA. So, it just felt surreal. I mean, every time somebody would announce something, the person next to you or behind you, like, oh, the NBA is not playing, or, you know, this conference decided not to play the second half and cancel the whole tournament. I think that was a Big East. And, you know, it was just some announcement or some kind of banner coming across your phone for, it felt like, an entire 48 hours.
Yeah, the bombardment was constant and continuous, like you said, for about 48 hours. It was just like, okay, I guess we're not doing that. And we're not doing that either. And that just got canceled. And that's not going to happen either.
So some of these announcements, it felt like some of these announcements, it felt like they had happened a week before, but they were really just yesterday because it was so much other news that was coming out.
Yeah, and honestly, escalated quickly.
I was ready to watch NASCAR. I was like, is NASCAR going to keep going? You know, because Phil T had already talked to me about, you got to look at this racing thing. I'm like, well, this might be my chance to check out racing. I was like, and then NASCAR got the heart. They're like, we're not doing it. I was like, my goodness, everybody's shutting down. I was ready to watch NASCAR.
And it seems like, you know, it's been, what, like 2.5 weeks now? A week and a half? I don't know what it is, man. I really don't know more. I really don't know what it is, man. I know I just didn't go to work in a minute. But, like, it seems like it's been a long time, a very long time, just because so much has transpired in a small period of time. I remember getting to school the Monday. And obviously I wasn't in great spirits. We had just lost in the sectionals the game before you get to state. We lost in the sectional final by 3, and I'm upset. My girls are all in a certain kind of way. And so, you know, that Monday, you know, the district, school district I work for, is sending out you know, information about, you know, how to handle it and everything. And, you know, I looked at one of my colleagues and I was like, man, we ain't going to be here next Monday. I'm like, I just feel like this is even then you kind of felt like, okay, the momentum is going in a different direction. I was like, and I told him, man, I won't be surprised if we ain't even got school next Monday. You know, at least we are, our spring break here in Wisconsin is not till April. And so I thought that they might try to hold out until spring break. But the intelligent thinking prevailed, and they said, let's shut this bad boy down. A little bit ahead of schedule, which was appropriate. So as the NBA kind of wrapped things up, as we stand, the Milwaukee Bucks were kind of the front runners to win the championship. The Lakers were coming on tough. The Clippers were starting to look good. You know, Toronto was still looking strong. There are a lot of storylines going on in the season, and I asked each of you guys to pick kind of five storylines that you are looking forward to following as the season kind of paused. And if it were to pick back up, these are storylines that you'd be interested to see how they play out one way or the other. So I'll start with you, PhD. Give us your first one.
My first one, and I won't go with a low-hanging fruit here, but my first one was I wonder if Chris Paul could make OKC a playoff team. I think when he got traded there as part of that big blockbuster trade with Paul George and Russell Westbrook and kind of just that whole series of transactions, I said to myself, you know what? OKC has enough pieces around them to be dangerous, to be a top five or six seed in the West. And Chris Paul, you know, I've said this before on the show, I feel like Chris Paul and LeBron, of all the guys in their generations, those two are the guys that, in my opinion, have consistently made everybody around them better. And to me, they're almost like the most valuable players. Like, if you take them off a team, you see the biggest example of how bad that team is once they're not on it. I mean, Chris Paul is definitely a couple of notches below LeBron in that regard, but I still think he's far ahead of just about everybody else in the league, with the exception of a few other guys like KD. And true enough, I mean, OKC was playing really good basketball when the season got suspended, and they were either fifth or sixth in the West.
Yeah, man, and it'll be interesting to see kind of where CP3 lands. Just kind of, you know, in all of our fictional all time lists, or where he even ranks at the point guard position. I think there was a time in his career where you would really argue that he was probably, if not the best, one of the two or three best point guards to ever play the game. You know, there was a time, I think, when he was at his peak where that was a legitimate argument, and you wasn't gonna get looked at crazy. And to me, this is like his y'all must have forgot season, where he's just kind of reminding everybody, like, y'all must have forgot I'm still pretty good. And again, guards, particularly small guards, usually don't age that well. But Chris always struck me as a dude who was going, his game was going to age well. One, he's a very good shooter. He's a very smart player, and he always worked. He was always a high level defender. So even a drop-off for him was still going to make him an average defender. You know what I mean? So even if he kind of regressed defensively, he was still going to kind of wind up being an average dude. And you don't lose your smarts, and you don't even lose the ability to run the team. That don't go anywhere. And I think his biggest thing over the last couple of years was he got a rep as a very ornery kind of dude. And that can mean a lot of things. But that is an interesting kind of situation. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing really well. Danilo Gallinari is doing what Danilo Gallinari does. It seems like he's been a very consistent guy for the last 4 to 5 years. Of just kind of when he's healthy, he's going to give you a certain level of production that you can count on. Just kind of a solid pro. Dennis Schroeder's played better. Steven Adams is doing what he always does. They've gotten a lot out of that team, and they are sitting at fifth. They were sitting at fifth in the West, which is a hard place to be. So yeah, that's when I would like to see just to see how that team did in the playoffs. I think SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is going to be a stud. He's already kind of showing signs that he's on that trajectory, but I think he's going to be a really strong player in a couple of years. So D. Wills, what was your first storyline?
I would say, Benjamin Button, a.k.a. LeBron James. I mean, I think that's a storyline for all of us. It's just like, whenever he's drinking, I want some of it. I seem to be amazed by this cat, man. He has just been taken to another level. I don't know if that extra rest he got from last summer gave him the boost, but he has just been on fire in every aspect of his game, and just I wanted to see how it would finish. What would he show us in the playoffs? At this late stage, I don't know if anyone's played at this level at this stage in their career ever. Given what he's done, and just it's like he's being recognized and playing the way he's always wanted to be. And people try to put him in that kind of Michael score first, but this is, he has always talked about himself being like a Peyton Manning type, and you are seeing him running that no huddle offense in that team this year at such a high level. So to me, that was just, storyline of storyline. That's, it's just like he found the fountain of youth. He found something, but whatever he's drinking, whatever he's doing, scientists probably should look at it, dealing with what we're dealing with right now. He found something. And I just was looking forward to kind of seeing what that would look like going into playoffs with a potential, matchup with the Clippers.
Yeah, and this kind of overlaps with one of my storylines, which was kind of that collision course that the two L.A. teams were on and how that storyline was developing. And that's a series that hopefully we do get a chance to see some sort of NBA playoffs some point. But that one, when you line up those two rosters and you got LeBron and AD, and their cast of role players that are running with those guys going against Kawhi and Paul George and just that crew of dogs that the Clippers have rolled out. And the Clippers are just starting to hit their stride. Their whole plan was this was a time of year where they wanted to be gelling and starting to come together. And so, the beginning of the season, they're just trying to make sure everybody's rested, everybody's healthy for this time right now. And so that one would have been spicy. That would have been real spicy to have those two teams going at it, because the Clippers got that chip on their shoulder. The Lakers are, the established commodity, the stars and the championships and the banners and the glitz and the glam and the showtime and the stars sitting in the front row. And the Clippers are trying to market themselves as a more gritty version of that. More blue-collar branding. And it would have been great to see the clash of those two styles on the court. You got LeBron, who's still playing really well. Kawhi Leonard, going head-to-head in the playoffs. That would have been nice. That would have been very enjoyable. Hopefully we still get to see it, but that would have been very enjoyable. I'll kind of take us in a different direction with mine. My first one, and mine was the battle for the eighth spot in the West. You got Memphis, led by Ja Morant, a really young upstart team that had come on and had a real hot stretch to establish themselves as a playoff team. They had solidified that eighth spot, but now they're facing the challenge from, you got Portland, New Orleans with Zion, Sacramento breathing down their neck, and San Antonio. And Phoenix is in the mix as well, only a game or so back out of that eighth spot. So you got all of these teams kind of in the mix fighting for that last spot to play the Lakers and get beat in the first round. But is that going to be the Lakers going against Memphis? Is that going to be Zion getting into the playoffs, which everybody would love to see? Is it going to be Dame and the Portland Trailblazers getting back in the playoffs, team that has a track record of surprising people? It would have been very interesting to see how that played out. That also would have had a tremendous impact on the Rookie of the Year voting. When you talk about Ja Morant kind of coming in, and his career trajectory is just crazy. Coming into his sophomore year last year, he was a pretty unknown commodity. You know, has an amazing year, blows up, and then, you know, was kind of an afterthought in the draft process. Everybody knew Zion was going to go first, and then everybody was like, well, after that, you know, it's Ja's going to be all right, but he's not a guy we're sure you can build your franchise around. And he's definitely come out and really proved to people that he's a franchise-level player. This first year in Memphis, they got a good thing going there. And if they can keep those young guys on track, add a couple of pieces here or there, they're going to be tough in a year or two. And obviously in New Orleans, they just have been they've had some bad luck with their health. Brandon Ingram is coming to his own. Lonzo Ball fixed his form, which has actually been very impressive this year. It's hard to do that. It's hard to do that at this late, at this stage of your career as a shooter. But he's done it, and he's looked like a much better, much more efficient player. He's still got to learn how to shoot free throws. That's a problem. Point guards got to shoot free throws. I can't give you the ball at the end of the game. You ain't going to make the shots. That team was coming together. So that was a storyline that I was looking forward to seeing how that played out. Just kind of not a major mainstream story, but one of those things that you could see in that experience of just getting into the playoffs for a young team like New Orleans or Memphis or Sacramento could set up a run the next year. So, PhD, what else you got?
Before I go, I want to say, Mark, you just sound like a coach a little bit about the free throw shooting. The free throw shooting at the end of the game. I was like, oh, coach coming out right now.
We got to congratulate you on your season. You had an amazing season. So I want to make sure we say that, you know,
coach of the year.
Coach of the year. You put a blueprint together. You know, people who have listened for a long time understand your basketball IQ, and you didn't just talk about it. You put it to work with those young ladies, and you're building something that is going to be special. So I just want to make sure it was a pleasure to watch your team play, and what you've done. You know, I just want to say that.
Hey man, I appreciate that. It's fun. I get to, you know, do my little thing. It's all the credit need to go to the young ladies, though, man. They're the ones that put the ball in the bucket and stop people from scoring.
That's right.
I just be over there yelling and stuff. They don't be listening.
they
can't hear
off.
Me doing the games
you
anyway.
Call them, they
Nah, it's fun, man. I enjoy it. But I appreciate that.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Congratulations, bro. It was fun following your squad this year, man. All right. So my next one, let's see. All right. I'm going to go off the cuff again. So I was curious if the Warriors could actually, you know, make the playoffs with them losing KD as well as Klay being hurt. I actually felt like they could have been like a top four seed in the West with the addition of D'Angelo Hall as well. You know what?
You
Russ say his name
Russ.
Right.
You right. D'Angelo Hall play football.
you in wrong sport.
Right. He a Hokie though. But yeah, I went wrong sport and everything. D'Angelo
he's
Russell.
Who,
by the way, D'Angelo Russell, I mean, this cat was like bottom scum teammate 3 or 4 years ago, and now you don't even think about that with this cat. I mean, this cat has a great PR person. but I was curious if Russell and Steph and Draymond would have enough to, like, make the playoffs. And, in fact, I even told a friend, like, yo, I think they're going to be a top 3 or 4 seed. I was definitely wrong there. They won 15 games, and they have the worst record. The worst record
like
in the league.
This is like your box madness. That's what I missed. I missed the opportunity to see Phil T pick his March Madness. This is like a March Madness pick. What? Stop, Paul. You know, and I'm going to my fan, but he's a triple single. I'm sorry. Draymond disappointed me. I'll leave
We had so many conversations, the three of us, over text about who is Draymond. Is Draymond, like, would he be an all-star on another team, or is he just a great, like is he a great third or fourth best player on a championship team? And I think this year pretty much identifies that he's probably not much more than the best third or fourth player on a championship-caliber team. But, yeah, I was definitely way, way, way wrong with that one.
Oh, good.
We'll get into Draymond in a second because I got some credit to take on that
one.
Nah, come on with it now.
Well, I told y'all. Like, he was really good because of what they was asking him to do, man. Like, I don't know why y'all didn't see that. Like,
I
was in the perfect ecosystem for him to be exactly what he needed to be.
I just said he believed he was one of those factors, which he did believe that. It just hasn't proven out. That's all.
I mean, yeah,
you know,
Charles
Barkley came after,
but can he play that way?
Hey, what Chuck said, hey, he thinks everybody cheered for him, but he's standing next to Justin Timberlake. That hurt.
Yep. Yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah. And see, and that's the thing. Cats like Chuck been waiting to get at him.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
like Chuck was like that uncle you think you can joan with, and all of a sudden the uncle stopped treating you like a nephew, and he really come at you like he do with his friends. When he said that, I was like, ooh, Draymond, just leave it alone.
Just let him be, man. Just let him be. He been holding that one in.
Draymond looked like Bodie when your boy Avon went to jail. He's still trying to hold that corner, boy. I felt bad for him.
Oh yeah. Now what I will say with the Warriors is you got a peep game, and I think it's very interesting what they're trying to do, and they're trying to rebuild without rebuilding, which is interesting.
Yep.
You know, this is similar to when the Spurs got Tim Duncan. I don't know if there's a Tim Duncan out there. But have going from the worst record, going from one of the best records in the NBA and competing in the finals to then now having the worst record, I don't think Steph needed to be out that long. You know, I don't think Draymond needed to miss as much time as he missed this year. They've given a lot of opportunity to some young guys trying to develop some of their roster a little bit. With like Eric Pascal getting minutes, Marquise Chris, Jordan Poole, they've taken a flyer on Dragon Bender even. You know, they're bringing in guys to try and develop some depth so that when Steph is healthy and Clay is back next year and Draymond is able to do what he needs to do, they have some guys to go with them. But then also, they're going to be in position to get a potentially high draft pick. That can be maneuvered in a lot of different ways, either as in a trade or actually if there's a player that they really like that fits with what they're doing, they can get a potential young stud in there. And, again, rebuild while still contending. So it's going to be interesting to see. They're trying to play a little bit of chess right now. And the season has gone probably as good as it could have gone for that purpose. I agree. I don't think you were that far off, though, Phil. Thinking that they could have been a fourth seed. Injuries, you can't predict injuries. And injuries are going to happen. And I think if all those guys are healthy, they're in the mix for a playoff spot, for sure. But they weren't. And so that bared itself out. And I think once they saw what they had and, you know, once Steph got hurt, that was pretty much it. They closed up shop and was like, hey, get the young guys out there. Coach them up, Steve. And I'll see you next year. Was pretty much kind of how they played it. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. But that is very much a sleeping giant that once they get healthy again, you know, I think I anticipate them to be back in the conversation again with the Clippers, the Lakers, the Rockets. So then the West gets really, really competitive. And then you talk about Zion and the Pelicans having another year to figure out that roster and to get everything in order there. That's a team that I could see taking a leap in a similar way the Mavericks did with Luka, and where they jump up into, you know, respectability way faster than we thought they would because they have a transcendent talent. And I think Zion and the Pelicans could do the same thing. So then the West is really thick. So I think that's a good one. That's a very good one. D. Wills, what's your next one?
I think it's East. Miami Heat Unleashed. When you think about, Jimmy Butler, they have Bam. But you got guys like Duncan Robinson, who, what, 3 or 4 years ago was playing Division III basketball. Went to Michigan, was a role player, but now it's just killing it. You know, Hero, you know him from Wisconsin. He was on his way to Wisconsin, then did a quick turn to Kentucky. Played well at Kentucky, but has really blossomed as a pro. Bam. That team, Spoelstra's got them playing it. They play hard. They come at you. You know, they're not a team you want to play against in the first round of the playoffs. But I've really liked how they've retooled with those young players and just the kind of noise they're making. But, they are, Butler's found a home. I think, being in Miami with Pat Riley and Spoelstra, I think that's just a good environment for him. And with the players they've had, Kendrick Nunn, that team, I was really excited to kind of see how they were going to mature and grow, not really come out of nowhere, but I think the jump they made this year was a pretty big jump.
Yeah, and the Heat, man, they got something good down there, man, because they be finding people.
Oh, yeah.
they scout department, they be finding cats, man, and then they put them in the right positions. Can people start giving Spo credit, man? For real credit? Think people recognize, he's one of those, he's your favorite MC's favorite MC. That type of coach, Spo, the other coaches be like, hey, I stole a bunch from him. You know what I'm saying? But, the mainstream folks don't really know. He like the Jadakiss of coaching. You know what I mean? Where everybody else, the cats in the game respect and know it, but mainstream folks may not be on it like that. But, yeah, Spo and the Heat definitely are – and they're deep. They're deep. Bam Adebayo has turned into a stud. I mean, they just got a really strong team, man. That's a scary team. That's a real scary team. And, again, they just find dogs. They find dudes who, as Bomani Jones calls them, the can't-go-backs. They get those cats. They're like, I ain't going back, man. I don't care what you're talking about, man. What you want me to do, I'm going to do that because I can't go back.
That's right.
So they got a lot of those.
They can't go back, Jimmy Butler. I mean, the ultimate.
He got
his band of can't go back. Yep.
Hey, that's why when Jimmy got down there, he was like, "I'm home. This is these cats are like me. I like this." So, yeah. I want to keep it in the East for my last one, and then I want us to get into some football. And obviously, y'all gonna have to carry me in that conversation because I still have not watched no football in 2 years. So, y'all gonna have to carry me in that conversation. But the last one I want to talk about.
Yeah, me too, bro.
So the last one I want to talk about is Brooklyn Nets, a team that made the playoffs last year, led by D'Angelo Russell and kind of an ensemble cast of B- to C+ players. Who fit together well as a scrappy unit of just work hards. Like, we just going to go out here and work hard. And this summer, they signed Kyrie, signed KD, and things are not going well. They had a stretch when Kyrie was out where the team seemed like it was playing better. They were winning games. I won't say they was playing better. They were winning more games. Because you can win games and not be necessarily playing better, especially in the NBA where scheduling matters a lot. And then Kyrie came back, and there's just a lot of discontent and uneasiness around the whole situation. Kenny Atkinson, who is, again, one of those really good coaches that not a lot of people know about, he and the team decided to mutually part ways, which is also kind of a telltale sign that something was up. Yeah, there's definitely a sign that something was up, And so your thoughts on – and I want to put this out there to y'all for a couple minutes. What are your thoughts on Kyrie Irving as a franchise cornerstone, like somebody you can build your franchise around. I don't see him being a guy who can be your best player. I can't, because I just don't think you can depend on him to lead. I don't think you can depend on him to do the things that he needs to do. He can't set the tone for everybody else. There are things that he doesn't do that if he don't do them, then everybody else going to be like, I ain't got to do it either. Play defense, you know, treat people appropriately. And just kind of set that tone of just like, this is kind of how we going to go about our business. And your best player's got to be able to do that. And I just don't see that in him, man. What are your thoughts? Maybe I'm off.
Well, I think Kyrie's in a good situation right now with the Nets, especially when KD gets back. I think about when they won the 2016 championship in Cleveland, and even the 2 years before then, Kyrie was fine as a second fiddle. Even during the regular season, oftentimes he was the go-to guy on offense. I think when he doesn't have a really strong personality or leader with him, it can really be a challenge. And I think he really got exposed with Boston last year and with, you know, like his role with the Nets this year, especially with KD out. Unfortunately, I think the chips are stacked, and the evidence is there is that he can't be an alpha dog, you know, on a contender. And you expect to win. Like, that just is not going to work.
Yeah. D-Wills, you got any other thoughts on Kyrie?
I think, you know, Kyrie's too lost in his head. You know, I think he is, you know, still figuring out why he thinks the earth is flat. But he's a genius on the floor. And I think the only way it can work in any situation that he has to have like a Pat Riley. He has to have somebody who is strong, who can really – he has to have Popovich. He has to have somebody who, you know, a Phil Jackson. He's going to have that type of person that really forces him to deconstruct some stuff. But there's not that many coaches. We got a lot of great coaches. There's not that many that I think could fill that bill for him. But I think if he's okay experiencing Boston, you know, I think that's why I think it was so easy for him to at least find, you know, a KD who he already has friends with. You know, I think he might be better off next year with KD on the floor, because I think KD can get him to go where he needs to go in a way that maybe sometimes LeBron might have rubbed him wrong, but I think he's also realizing LeBron was steering him to. But I think if he can accept that role, he's not going to be the leader in many aspects, but he's going to be the leader down the stretch of games. It's going to be clear who needs to have the ball in their hands and some key points down the stretch with Kyrie, money time and big times. But all the other things that come along with it, he's going to have to give it to somebody else to do.
Yeah, and that's why I see and I agree with both of you guys. I think that's the best, like, we talked about Draymond and, like, the best ecosystem for him. I think that's the best ecosystem. And like you pointed out, Phil, you saw that in 2016 when he was on that Cavs team with LeBron. The best ecosystem for him is where he can just be, like, he don't have to be Marlo. He can be Chris or Snoop. You know what I mean? Like, he can be the hitter. He can be the hired hitter who's going to go out, strike fear into everybody's hearts, do immeasurable amounts of damage, but then at the end, he ain't got to come back and run the organization. And when I mean the organization, like, take care of the little identity stuff that a leader has to take care of on top of producing on the court, that he just ain't interested in. Like, I think that's really what it is. He's just not interested in that. I don't think that's his personality. You know, to be that dude, you got to show other people that you genuinely, like, kind of care about them. And I don't know if he's built that way. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's – and, again, I think there's some of that genius kind of savant thing going on where he just doesn't really relate to people that well. And there are very few people who he connects with, and he connects with people who he feel are his peers. And if he doesn't see you as a peer, then he may come off – like Rondo has a little bit of that too, where if he doesn't see you as a peer, then he may kind of be like, I ain't got time for you. And Rondo has kind of grown out of that and kind of grown into more of a mentoring phase of his career. And I don't think Kyrie's at that point yet because he's still ready to bust heads and he still sees himself as a guy who's ready to do damage, which he is. Yeah. But I think he needs to be in that situation. Now, the question is KD that dude? Because KD's his equal and his peer as a player. I don't know what KD's leadership skills is like, though, right? I don't know how KD, because he's also kind of some timing with his personality. And so it'll just be an interesting dynamic once all of that kind of gets together and you get that whole crew together and how they work things out and work through things. Because I think both of those guys are very, very different kind of personalities as far as how they find contentment.
Yeah.
And your star's got to be content, or else ain't nobody else going to be content.
And they got to make space for people like LeVert and some of those other guys who have demonstrated they can do work. And so for them to play at that championship level, and I know KD understands that, you know, to the extent that Kyrie can create that space or a coach can create the lineups that allow for that to happen, you know, it's a lot of it's going to come down to how they decide on the coaching direction permanently in terms of that. Who can manage all those personalities along with KD's leadership?
Yeah. With that, I want to transition talking about coaching and that dynamic between the coach and their best players. A long, long time relationship in the NFL just broke up between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. With Tom Brady leaving New England and heading to Florida, is this? And the question is, does he still have some bullets left in the chamber? Or is this another example of a Northeasterner heading down south to retire? Or is he in his snowbird phase? You know what I'm saying? Is this another version of, you know, the folks from the Northeast kind of being like, we're ready to retire. We're gonna cop some land in Florida, and we're going to go kick it down there. You know, is he in his snowbird phase, or has he still got some work to give to people? D-Wheels, what are your thoughts on that, man?
Man, I just finished watching O.J. Made in America. I saw him on that 49er uniform on when he left Buffalo. It's just like, man, sometimes when you change teams, you just get old quickly. But I would say that Tom Brady going down to Tampa, actually, I think he's going to rejuvenate him. They got some really good weapons as well. I think, you know, I love Jameis down there, but, you know, when you throw 30 interceptions, you just kill drives. I think if he can just manage that offense like Tom Brady does, I think he could be very effective down there. He's got a coach who's innovative, who can, you know, I think will be great for him. They got some young cats on defense they're putting together. So, I think they're going to have a pretty competitive season in a division that is going through some transition. You know, Atlanta hasn't really met the expectations. Carolina is transitioning. You do got New Orleans over there, you know, with Breeze, but you got some other transition happening at conference as well. So
let me ask. I want to stop you for a second since we're talking about the NFC South. I got a question because again, I ain't been watching hardly no football. I catch stuff on ESPN every now and again. What the hell is going on in the NFL where you just releasing Cam Newton and you just releasing Todd Gurley? Like, Todd Gurley on the Falcons now, Cam Newton leaving the Panthers. How does that happen? That doesn't happen in the NBA. Like, you ain't finna just release a really good player for nothing. Like, you going to trade him, even if it's for pennies. You going to get a second-round pick or something.
Yeah, and that's what happens, you know, with this collective bargaining agreement and, you know, really the push for trying to get as much guaranteed money as you can for people. You know, the NFL owners are ruthless. And, you know, on top of it, they're putting coronavirus clauses in contracts, you know, where you already have a medical exam-related clause in the contract. They're actually being specific. So NFL owners are ruthless, and this is an example. You know, Todd Gurley. I think it wasn't that much money they'd have to pay Todd Gurley. I think it was, what, another maybe $3-4 million
$1 a year or something crazy. It wasn't a huge amount of money they would have to pay if they cut him. So, yeah, I mean, that's the league. And that was, you know, part of the issues with the collective bargaining agreement. But, you know, Cam is going to end up landing somewhere. But, you know, a world where you drop somebody who was just MVP not too long ago, you know, that's the NFL.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. You're like I said, I ain't really been into the league like that, man. And I'm going to take your word for it that Tampa got weapons because I couldn't even tell you. But just the fact that I'm reading these names that's getting released. And, again, last I checked, Cam Newton was – I know he's coming off some injuries and, you know, and there's some question marks about his health. But he's still probably one of the best 15 quarterbacks in the league. And from what I understand, that's the most important position unless something's changed. And, again, I get Gurley is a running back and running backs are devalued. But, again, from what I understand, he ain't 30 yet. He ain't even close to 30. What is he, 26, 27?
But I think what killed him was that, you know, that the knee, you know, he's going back to Atlanta, which I think will be great. He's actually working out with the person that worked with my niece when she was recovering. He's great in terms of he's worked with Gurley on a lot of his recovery when he was in college. So I think being in Atlanta, being, you know, in a familiar, I think you'll see a strong season for him next year with the Falcons, just because I think he's going to be around his surroundings. I think he's going to have an explosive year. But I think that knee was probably what pushed the Rams out on him. But I still think he has some good years. You're right. And with him being in Atlanta, I think that could be a good move for him.
Okay. And then Jameis. Man. Jameis is
– I want to ask y'all a question. Can I ask y'all a question? I think
– Come on,
you know,
with
I think Jameis Lee's LASIK – every time I look at him, he's squinting. And my thing is, you don't throw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions because. I'm telling you, man, look at every picture. He's squinting. He's been squinting since he was in college. I'm telling you. Somebody going to figure that out, have him do some LASIK, and Jameis going to be on. He always squinting,
well, I think
man.
He supposedly had LASIK. I think he had LASIK.
He did? He got a bad
I think he had it this offseason. No, I think he just got it, like, before they let him go. Like, he just got it, like, a couple weeks ago. Like,
well,
I think I saw that. I think I saw that.
He's about to have a breakout.
Yeah, I think I saw
year.
That. Now, see, the thing
man.
About Jameis is that you couldn't tell if he was squinting because he couldn't see or if he was squinting because he was that shady dude. We all know who I'm talking about. That dude you hanging around, and he always plotting or scheming or trying to come up with some little stupid harebrained scheme to get over on somebody, whether it's trying to get an extra drink at the bar, trying to get some girl number, any of that. Jameis was that dude. Always,
right.
You could again, you couldn't tell if he was squinting because
Bill
he's scheming. Type. Right, rubbing his hands together, squinting, or he really can't see.
Right, the role Bill Bellamy plays in every movie. Yeah.
And so, Jameis has some of that. He has some of the personality traits of that guy. So I think that's why nobody really said that. Jameis, can you really see? They just figured he was being Jameis. Somebody's like, "Hey man, you squinting all the time, man. Why is you?" You know, he's probably around some white, some non-black folks. And they was, because black folks knowing that we know what that dude is doing. White folks probably was like, why are you always squinting? For what? And somebody finally asked Jameis, why are you squinting? Jameis probably was like, man, I really can't see that far. And they was like, oh, we always just assumed he was on something. But that boy threw 30 interceptions, man. I read that and I almost fell out of my chair, man.
30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. I was just like, my goodness.
And then had the nerd to be like, well, I threw more than I gave back, so, I mean, I'm good. What y'all mad about? What y'all mad for? Not like I threw 30 interceptions and 15 touchdowns. I threw 33 touchdowns, too. Again, that's shady. Is that why you squinting, Matt? You trying to sell me something that you ain't got?
Oh, well, I hope he land up with the Steelers. I know we've been talking about it. I'll take him as a backup to Ben if they can't give him a starting
you think,
job.
So you think Ben got another run in him?
he looked like he got one more in him, but we'll see, you know. But we definitely need to have a backup for him. So if Jameis is willing to play that role, we I love to have him in Pittsburgh, especially since he got that LASIK. We ready then.
Or would y'all rather have Cam? If the price is right?
Yeah, I can't see Cam being a backup, man.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I can see Jameis. Like, I need to take a step back and kind of make this work. I just can't see Cam. Cam is like,
you know what you really can't see? You know what you really can't see? You can't see Cam wearing them outfits in Pittsburgh.
No, man. I can't even handle that. That ain't going to work.
This ain't Charlotte, man. This ain't Charlotte. You ain't finna get away with that.
Nah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to Allen Iverson.
Hey, I'm telling you. You're going to have about three press conferences.
Calls Allen Iverson.
You can talk to the old head about that one. Cam is not finna be in the NFC South. Well, if he's at Pittsburgh, the AFC North, the press conference is gonna be a little bit different.
Oh, they're gonna be a little bit different up there. Rust belt. Yeah, they ain't really going for all that.
We're trying to have some different kind of conversations. You know. Why is your hat so big, sir? Does it need to be that big?
The hat so we can see you. Well, yeah.
Right. Are those knickers? What kind of pants are those, sir?
Yeah, you're gonna need Tomlin coming out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, hey, fellas, we're approaching the last couple minutes. This has been fun, man. Again, we got to do a couple of these until we get cleared to, like, actually be around other human beings outside of our family. So right. Just let me know when y'all want to get on, and we'll lay down a couple of these for the people because we do it for the people.
That's right.
But this has been fun, man. I appreciate being able to hear y'all voices and connect with y'all, man. So stay safe out there, man. That's the biggest thing. We got a little system here. I'm the designated store runner, so I'm the only one that's leaving and coming back.
Man.
Everybody, we don't want no variables. We don't want no variables.
Put them gloves on.
Hey, man. And see, I don't wear them little plastic gloves, man. I wear my winter gloves, yo. I ain't playing.
Okay.
I got on some gloves,
though.
It'd
be like 50 degrees.
I got on ski gloves.
Your hands
are
hot.
57. I'm in there with ski gloves on.
Well, what about you? You take in the place coming with some gloves. It's 50 degrees.
Right.
Gloves, though.
All right. I hope you have a mask and not a ski mask, Martin.
No. We don't get nobody in these shoes.
So y'all tell me I should wear the bandana over my face when I go air with the gloves.
I don't know. You may not. Nah, man, don't do that.
We got too many variables. Black males out here. We can't do it like that.
Oh, man. That wouldn't be a good look, huh?
Nah, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, but stay safe out there, man. Stay safe. I guess I get the last word this episode.
You get the last word, man.
All right, man. I wanna first say shout out to all the people out there just trying to figure this thing out, man. And the biggest thing I would encourage you to do is don't get so much caught up in what you can't do, and focus on what you can do. And you can spend time and reconnect with your loved ones, get off them screens, just have fun, enjoy each other. You have an excuse to be with your people, and there's no better excuse than you can't go nowhere. So just, take walks, play games. You know, me and my wife had a virtual date night the other night. We went and Anthony Hamilton did a little Instagram live in his from his living room, did a little concert. So we watched the concert. We got dressed up, watched the concert, and then when the concert was over, we went and watched DJ D-Nice's set. And then we went down. We kicked all the kids upstairs. We went down to the basement, had club quarantine. And so just be creative. Have fun. Enjoy it. Again, don't get caught up in what you can't do and focus on what you can do. So enjoy it while you got it, because man, things change in a hurry. If this situation, I don't even know what to call it, this pandemic, isn't a perfect example of how quickly things can turn on a dime. I don't know what it is. You might be hard-headed if you don't get it. So, again, I appreciate you fellas. It's Real Sports Guys, RSG Renegade Radio, and we out.